You are tuned into the Hour Power this morning. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. Our guest today is Apostle Casey Elliott. His title for this morning is Staying Connected. It is so important to stay connected.
Yes, it is.
I tell you what, I was connected. I was staying connected this morning.
Amen. Sure were.
Amen. Yeah, and the officer was so kind to give me just a warning.
Amen. She was connected to heaven. Heaven heard her.
I was praying when I seen I seen pull out behind me. I just started praying, Lord, you know me. You know me.
You know me. Amen. I think sometimes she looks down and goes, oh, yes, I do.
Yes.
Amen. You know, we were talking about staying connected. Staying connected. You know, it's so important because, you know, the devil's just bombarding people. And, you know, people are, you know, it seems like people are starting to give up. People are starting to, you know, throw in the towel. They're starting to walk away. And,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And, you know, the Bible talks about the great falling away, that many people will be deceived. You know, the Bible said even the very elect will be deceived, if at all possible. And I was talking to, you know, we have to be careful. And, you know, I was talking to a pastor buddy of mine last week, and he had a pastor buddy that went through COVID. Their church caught on fire and burned, and a tornado had went through their town, and the same pastor that was on fire for God was now saying that God didn't exist. God couldn't exist if he's supposed to be good and allowed that to happen. And his daughter had just got baptized, and he was like, now I'm going to have to undo all that. And you know, and, you know, I was talking to my pastor friend the other day. You know, we was praying for the other guy, but, you know, we was talking, you know, it's just a reminder of how the very elect can be deceived, if possible. You know, people are, the enemy's making people feel like there's no hope in God. You know, if God, you know, he's so clever, you know, he's telling people, you know, if God's so good, why are you going through this? You know, and, you know, he tries to entice people. Come on over, you know, come on over here. And, you know, people are taking the bait. You know, they're falling for hook, line, and sinker. Or, and so we have to stay connected. But one thing that I heard the Lord say when he was giving me this is, yes, we have to stay connected, but we're also about to see the biggest move of the body of Christ getting reconnected.
Come on.
Getting reconnected. And so what does that look like in the Bible? If we go to Luke chapter 15, verse starting at 11. It's the parable of the prodigal son. And another one of my favorite scriptures. You know, I can be reading a scripture, I'm like, oh, this is my favorite. Then I read another one, I'm like, oh, this is my favorite. And verse 11 says, then he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that falls to me. So he divided his estate between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and journeyed to a distant country, and there squandered his possession in prodigal living. When he had spent everything, there came a severe famine in that country, and he began to be in want. So he went and hired himself to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the swine. If you go back to chapter 14, he began to be in want. He began to be in want. And, you know, I was thinking about when I was reading this, you know, prodigal son story this morning. One thing I thought about is the Amish people, because when the Amish turn 17, they're given I think they call it like a grace period or like a discovery period, where they will allow them to go out into the world. And I think it's supposed to be for 3 months, but they will let them go out and discover the world. And because, you know, the Amish shield their people from the world. And so they will give them, time to go out and, you know, discover themselves, see if they want to become worldly or if they want to come back to and stay with the Amish way. But the thing about that is, if they leave, their family will shun them. You know, they say, don't come back here. We're not going to let you in the house. We're not going to see you, you know, unless you come back. And, you know, they disown them. And, you know, sometimes they get out there and they decide they like the world better. Sometimes they go back. You know, they find out that it really wasn't that much to offer, which, you know, no electricity, none of that. I don't know if the Amish has much to offer anyways, but, you know, to them it does. And, you know, so we don't ever want to make fun of, you know, their beliefs or anything, but, you know, I like electricity. I like, getting in my vehicle. I don't like, you know, hooking up a horse and buggy to go to work or to go to Walmart, but, you know, they, here's what this young son did. He said, I want to get out of here. I want to get out from my father. I want to go out and do my own thing. I want to go out there and, you know, I want to go out there and do me. I want to go out there and do me. Well, here his father has provided for him his whole life. And now all of a sudden he says, I want to do me. And what happens? He goes out there and he spends everything that the father gave him. But then he forgot, now I'm no longer under the umbrella of my father. Mm-hmm. And so what happened? He had nobody to provide for him. So he began to be in want. I thank God for Psalms 23 that said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking about when I was a little kid. I always take things literal. So I remember being younger, I was thinking, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. I thought we're supposed to want him. But, you know, and I always laugh at that. But it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He takes care of us. And so now all of a sudden, the son finds himself in a whole new place. You know, he's unspent everything. He has nothing. So he went and hired himself to a citizen of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed swine. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the husks that the swine were eating, but no one gave him any. Wow. No one gave him any. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have an abundance of bread, and here I am perishing with hunger. Sometimes, you know, sometimes when we have it good, we don't realize that we have it good. Sometimes we have to go through some things to find out how good we really have it. And so here he's coming to the realization that maybe this wasn't such a good idea. Maybe the grass wasn't greener on the other side. Maybe, just maybe, I can't do this on my own. And, you know, he begins to remember how good he had it when he was with the Father, and when he depended on the Father to take care of him and to meet his needs. And he says, I will arise and go to my Father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he arose and came to his father. Hallelujah. You know, out there right now, there are Christians that have came to that point. They got tired. They, you know, going to church became meaningless, you know, because they didn't feel like God was taking care of them. They didn't feel like, God, you know, why am I going to go to church when You know, God ain't taking care of me. Why am I going to pray when God don't take care of me? Why am I going to read my word if God don't take care of me? They don't realize how good they got it. They don't realize how good they got it. That enemy's making them feel like their father don't love them. And so, you know, they say, forget it. You know, I was raised in church. I've been in church all my life, you know, and now this, you know, why is God going to leave? You know, why is God just going to leave me after this? And, but they don't see things the way that they really are. And so they say, you know what? I can go find something else. You know what? I can do this on my own. I can make this happen better, you know? And so what happens? They venture off. But guess what happens? All the resources that they have begin to dwindle. And all of a sudden they realize, I'm stuck. I'm stranded. I really had it better than I thought I did. Come on. Man, my father really did take care of me. Wow. Man, I've been deceived. And so what happens? They come to that realization that the only way that it's going to get better. I think sometimes we have to come to the realization that if we keep trying to make things happen, we're just digging that hole deeper and deeper and deeper. And so I think they can, you know, come to the realization, hey, if I keep trying to do me, I'm just going to get further and further away, you know, deeper and deeper away. So they say, man, I've got to get back. I've got to get back. And, you know, so he said, I'm going back to the Father. And, he says, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he arose and came to his father. But while he was yet far away, his father saw him and was moved with compassion and ran and embraced his neck and kissed him. You know, we even experienced this last night at our church. A lady that had been gone for 4 or 5 months. Some things happened and... But she came to church last night. Came to church last night. And she said she was so afraid that we would believe what we'd heard about her, you know, about the things that had been going on. But instead, we embraced her. We embraced her. We let her know we loved her. We let her know she's family. We let her know that she's loved. We let her know that she's in the right place, you know. And like I told her, I said, welcome home. Welcome home. And so, you know, there's people coming back to the realization, God, I messed up. God, I thought I could do this on my own. God, I thought I could do this better than you. God, I thought I had everything I needed to make it happen. But I've come, but I realize I need you. What happened is, you know, I believe, like the son, I believe the son walked away from the father, but I believe he was running back to him. Hallelujah. Sometimes we don't run for God till we run back to God.
Come on.
And so, so there are people in the churches, in the body of Christ that are running back to the Father to get reconnected. And I believe that we're about to see one of the greatest reconnecting times that we've ever seen. And you know, here the father didn't say, I gave you all this stuff and you ran and blew it, you know, I don't want anything to do with you, you're not my son, you know. That's what the son was afraid of. The son was afraid that he would get that he would be disowned. But but instead it was the other way around. The father had compassion. Father had compassion on him. And he just ran up and embraced him. And it said, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring here the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. So not only did he squander all that, but now the father's restoring him back. He said, here, give him some shoes. Give him this. Give him that. And hallelujah. So when we come back to God, God don't throw us away. He embraces us. He restores us. He hallelujah. And he says, put a ring on his hand and the shoes on his feet. Bring here the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he is found. So they began to be merry. And so, you know, we ought to be excited and rejoice when somebody comes back. But, you know, that's not always the case. Verse 25 says, now his older son was in the field. As he came and drew near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what this meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him safe and sound. He was hungry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, look, these many years have I served you, nor have I ever transgressed you, your commands. Yet never have you given me a goat so that I might be merry with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your living with harlots, you killed the fattened calf for him. He said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. But it was fitting to be merry and be glad, for this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he was found. Wow. You know, I read something on Facebook. I've seen it a couple times lately. It said, if someone comes to the altar and the only thing that you remember is what they done, you're the one that needs to be at the altar. You're the one. And so, you know, sometimes people get, you know, they get jealous, they get angry because, you know, they see people, you know, walk away from God. And then whenever they begin to come back, they see God just, you know, restoring them, blessing them, you know, and then they, you know, God, I didn't left you. You know, I've been right here. I've been out in your field. You know, I went out squandering your stuff like him, and you're giving him stuff. You're fattening the calf. You're having a party. You know, you didn't give me any of that stuff. But what did he say? He said, I didn't have to because you didn't leave me. I didn't have to because you've been here. You know, I've still been providing for you. And so, you know, sometimes people get bitter when somebody comes back to the Lord. Amen. And so what happens, thank you, Holy Ghost, what happens is that person now becomes disconnected from God.
Come on.
Because you can't be connected and have bitterness and jealousy when you see God restoring somebody that has decided to come back and get connected. And so, you know, so it's important that if you're connected to God, you stay connected to God. You know, the Bible says I am determined to let nothing or no thing separate me from the love of God. You know, we have to guard our connection to Him. We have to stay connected. And I want to encourage somebody out there today. Maybe you went through some tough times. Maybe you felt like giving up. Maybe you did give up. First, I want to address two areas there. If you feel like giving up, don't give up. Don't give up. Because 1 Peter chapter 5 said, after you have suffered a little while, God himself is going to come and restore you, refresh you, and establish you. Don't give up. You know, one thing we have to remember, the fight gets the hardest at the end. The battle gets the hard. You know, so many times we get tunnel vision in the natural. We see what's going on in the natural, but we don't see what's going on in the spiritual. And the battle is getting so intense that we're just ready to give up. But in the spirit, you're this far from victory. You're one step away from, you're right at the finish line. That's why the enemy's fighting you so much. Don't give up. Don't bow down. Don't lay down. You keep standing. You keep moving. Amen. Don't be a sitting target for, don't be a sitting duck for the enemy. Don't be a sitting target. You keep moving. You keep moving. And guess what? You're just one step away from victory. One step away from victory. And but if you have given up, if you have given up and you've gotten out there and you realized, man, I thought I could. First of all, maybe you believe the lie of the devil that, you know, God didn't love you. He don't take care of you. If he loved you, why are you going through this? You know, maybe that's what caused you to give up. But then when you gave up, you lost everything. And you came to the realization, I thought I could do this, but I couldn't. I'm getting myself even deeper in trouble. I just want to go back to him. You know, some people want to go back to him, but they're afraid. I want to go back to God, but I just don't know if he will. I just don't know if God will. He will. Absolutely. He will. He'll be like the father that's here in this, in the prodigal son. He will meet you. He will meet you, and he will embrace you. And he will say, welcome home. Welcome home. I miss you. I miss you. I miss you. Hallelujah. And so I just feel like there's some people out there that listen today that either in one of those two boats. They either feel like giving up or they have given up. But either way, it's not too late. Not too late. You can keep running, or you can dust yourself off and start running again. Start running again. But we have to get connected. We have to stay connected in this time and in this season. That's the only, you know, the Bible says in John chapter 15, it talks about we have to remain in him and he'll remain in us. Amen. The true branch. The true branch. And so, hallelujah. God is so good. God is so good.
Hallelujah. I personally, as a child, I loved Jesus so much. I loved going to church. You know, the church bus was come, and I would just be so happy and excited, you know. And then life happened, and I got really hurt. And in my hurt, I got very angry at God. Mm-hmm. I had a stronghold. I believed a lie from the enemy. And in my hurt, like I said, I became angry and I was hurt. And anger was my response to the hurt. And it wasn't the right response. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. I became angry at God. And so I turned my back on my God for so long. But when I hit the end, when the waters started crashing in, and I began to sink, and I was at the bottom. I mean, I sank to the bottom, the deepest depth that probably a person could get. And the only thing I could do was say his name.
Amen.
Jesus. That's all I could do was say his name.
Amen.
But that name alone has the power. And when I said that name, he showed up.
Amen.
And he didn't just show up like, well, Monica, I reckon you shouldn't have done that there, girlfriend. I don't know what to tell you. I sure didn't see that coming. I don't know what to tell you there, girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's not what he said. He had his hand out. And he said, "Oh, child, I'm glad you called my name. Now take my hand and let me help you up. Let me clean you up." And man, my life changed.
Yeah.
My life has changed.
Yeah. You know, and sometimes we lie to ourselves. Like you said, you know, we'll get mad at God. We'll blame God. Mm-hmm. And then we think that he won't want us back.
Mm-hmm. That's a lie from the pit of hell.
Yeah. Like you said, just call on his name.
That's all I could do, Brother Casey.
Yeah.
That's all I could do. But he is so loving and faithful that he just like you said, the lion, the enemy walks around pretending to be, but God, the same way the enemy is pacing the earth looking for someone he can devour, our God, our Abba, is in heaven looking down. Just call my name. I see everything. Just call my name. Just call him the name. Yeah. Call on my son's name, Jesus. And then that opens the door for me to swoop and get you.
Yeah.
And then bring you, take you by the hand and bring you up and clean you off.
You know, like that Jackson 5 song, just call my name and I'll be there.
Amen.
Amen. That's how our Father is. Just call his name. Just call his name and he'll be there.
And when I went back into church, I walked into the church and I heard him say, "Welcome home, my child." And coming back, there was like a stretch. God was trying to lift me and clean me. He had me by the hand. But the enemy kept trying to pull me back. Well, they don't want you here. Yeah. Look at how they're looking at you. She thinks you're disgusting. And it's like, no. I ain't going nowhere.
Amen.
I'm not going nowhere. Yep. I ain't going nowhere.
Ain't going nowhere.
That's my home. He done welcomed me home. They're going to have to serve me some kind of papers to get me out.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. There you go. There you go.
I'm going to have to be served some paperwork to get out of that church.
You're going to have to haul me out of here.
Yeah. That's my Abba's house. I'm going home.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And my pastors, they said, this is the motto of our church. And it changed my life. It helped.
Yeah.
It helped when I received it.
Yeah.
And I said, that's mine.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put that in my pocket and I'm going to keep it.
Yeah. You know, our motto at our church is you're only a visitor until you walk through those doors and then your family. And so, you know, how can you give up on family?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Amen.
And so,
what Pastor Dwight told me, and it changed something in me when I heard him say that. Something just clicked.
Wow.
Your future is not determined by your past.
There you go.
But by how you respond to God today. And I responded, and I continue to respond.
Amen. Amen.
He's there.
Yeah.
Respond.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say that same thing about our identity. We're not who we were or where we came from. And, you know, to find that true identity, we have to stay connected. Mm-hmm. So
the enemy, he don't want you there. even if you're sitting there in the front row, it don't matter what row you're in. If you're there,
yeah,
he gonna try to pull you. He's going to try to pull you sitting right there in Abba's house. He can, you know, hey, no, look, you see how, look at that one. See how she's looking at you?
Yeah.
That one thinks this.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, wait.
Yeah.
And it was, and I literally felt like I was being pulled.
Yeah.
And it's like, I finally came to a place like, no.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He's so faithful, man.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
We're all in the ship, y'all. We all have our own oar to row. If you jump the ship, and you chose your own little raft, that one little oar, you're just going to sit there and go in circles. Get back in the ship, man. Come back and get in the ship. You have helpers.
Yeah.
There's other people. There's other people rowing with you.
Wow.
And we're all in it together. Christ, Jesus Christ is our Lord. Get back in the ship, man.
Amen.
Now don't drop your oar in the ocean. Bring it with you. Because we got work to do.
Amen.
For the kingdom.
God is good.
He's faithful, man.
Yeah. Amen.
He's so faithful.
Yeah.
So, even to the faithless.
Yeah.
I was faithless.
Yeah.
But he remained faithful.
Mm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So if you're connected, stay connected. If you've been disconnected, get reconnected.
Come on.
Amen.
Wow. This morning, me and Casey and I haven't talked before the program. I watched the teaching this morning from Rick Renner.
Mm-hmm.
And it really touched my heart. And he said, I want you to draw this. I want you to draw it, and I want you to take it. I didn't ask why. I just, yes, sir. And I got up, cut me a piece of cardboard, and I drew the oar.
Wow.
And he said, I want you to take it with you. And so I did.
Wow.
I listened.
There you go.
Because I got reconnected to my Lord.
Yep.
I can hear him.
Hallelujah.
And it's so sweet. And then as you were preaching, as you was teaching, I saw the image of a ship with a cross at the front and Jesus. I didn't finish drawing y'all, so I didn't finish the sketch, kind of, you know. But that's Jesus in the front directing his people.
Wow.
There's many levels and many things on a ship.
Yep.
And sometimes we get sidetracked. We get distracted. And we're looking at other people. We're looking at their oars. Mind your own oar.
Yeah.
You got your own.
Mm. Hallelujah.
And God, through the Holy Spirit, will tell you how to use it, when to use it.
There you go.
When, where? When and where? He may not always tell you why. But trust.
Yep.
in his faithfulness.
Amen.
In his love.
Amen. Hallelujah. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time, God is good.
Would you like to pray to close this out? Do you have anything else, sir?
Nope, that's it.
I didn't mean to take over.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's
I didn't
fine.
Mean to jump on it.
Oh, that's fine. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for this word once again, Lord. Lord, I just pray that those that are connected to you, God, that they will not give up, but they will keep stay connected and keep moving forward. And Father God, anybody out there that has given up, Lord, Lord, let them know it's not too late. They can come back to you and that you will receive them with open arms. And Lord, we just give you all the praise, the glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And it is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell. From our beautiful sister, Sue.
Yes.
And from our brother, Apostle Casey Elliott. Y'all have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
Amen.
Let us pray, let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family.